Exodus chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And then I want you to drop down to verse 20. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Have you noticed how humans get attached to certain objects? If you're a fan of the Peanuts comic strip, you know that Charlie Brown's best friend, Linus, always carried his security blanket with him. For 30 years, Linus Van Pelt toted that blanket around. It was an attachment. When my kids were little, we had a stuffed animal that they passed on to one another. They named him Dog Dog. There was no going to sleep in my house if they couldn't cuddle up with Dog Dog. They were definitely attached. Watch a carpenter. He has a favorite hammer. A baseball player gets attached to a particular bat or glove. Guitarists will even name their special guitars. B.B. King called his Lucille after running back into a burning dance hall to save the guitar he'd left behind. You can get attached to an old pair of shoes and wear them long after they've worn out. You can become fond of a set of dirty work clothes that you have to hide from your wife to keep her from tossing them into the trash. You can get attached to a chair. Though threadbare and stained, it's still your chair. Certain objects are just sticky. We get used to them to the point where it's hard to let them go. And we become attached. What are your attachments? Moses had an attachment, a rod, or a shepherd's staff. He probably picked it up shortly after moving from the banks of the Nile to the wilderness of Midian. He went to work for Jethro, his father-in-law, a sheep herder. Moses' Egyptian feet weren't used to Midian's rocky terrain, and thus he needed a staff to balance himself on the mountainsides. So he found this young, sturdy tree. He cut it down and he whittled it into a rod. If it was like the average shepherd's staff, it was thick and straight and strong, probably 6 feet tall, with a hook on the end. In over the 40 years that Moses tended sheep in Midian, he grew attached to his rod. He used it to scale and sturdy himself on steep mountain cliffs while searching for lost sheep. He leaned on it in the hot summer sun. He used it to fight off wild animals or beat back thick brush. His rod pulled sheep out of hard-to-get-to nooks and crannies. Even used it to correct his sheepdogs, I'm sure. Everywhere Moses went, his staff was at his side. And it was not uncommon for shepherds to have the same staff for a lifetime. To Moses, his rod was more than a stick or a staff. It was his best friend. It had helped him out of many a tough spot. At the time, if Moses had died, I'm sure he would have insisted on being buried with his rod. His staff was an attachment. This morning, I brought my rod. It's not quite 6 feet long, but it's my driver. It's my rod. It doesn't have a hook on the end. In fact, it has one of these special head, club heads on that driver. It's not one of those fancy titanium kryptonite head clubs like some of you guys use. My rod is more vintage. I've hit towering drives with this golf club for the last 15 years. Every time I try one of the new and improved varieties, that which boasts of the latest technology, the kind that my sons own, the expensive drivers, they just don't feel right. It's not my rod. I always go back to what I call Old Faithful. Hey, when I get to be an elderly man, many years from now, I'll still be golfing with Sandy's rod right here. But you see, here's the difference between my rod and God's rod. A true shepherd never throws down his rod. And I admit, I've thrown mine down a time or two. In a moment of frustrations, it's easy to let a golf club fly. Once I was playing golf, and I came to a green surrounded by water. Like most amateur golfers, I reached into my bag and I pulled out an old ball just in case I hit it in the water. But at that moment, I heard a voice from heaven say to me, "Use a new ball." I concluded, "Wow, maybe I'll hit a good shot." I dropped a new ball on the ground, took my practice swing, and then I heard the voice again. On second thought, better use that old ball. Did you hear the golfers that were annoyed with slow play of the twosome out ahead of them? One of the offenders, he was wandering out in the middle of the fairway, going back and forth. His partner was just sitting in the cart. Well, the waiting golfers were so steamed, one of them shouted to the guy in the cart, "Why don't you help your partner find his ball?" That's when the man shouted back, "He's got his ball. He's looking for his club." And yet I have to confess, there have been a time or two when I've thrown down my rod. Moses, though, would have never thrown down his rod. A shepherd without a rod is defenseless. A staffless shepherd is vulnerable and stripped of his strength. Moses would have never, ever given up his rod. And yet that is exactly what God asked him to do. Chapter 3 tells us of Moses. He's now standing shoeless on Mount Horeb. He's in front of a bush on fire, yet not consumed. God is in this burning bush, and he tells Moses to take off his shoes, for the ground on which he's standing is holy ground. Moses is worried that his people back in Egypt won't believe that God has spoken to him and sent him to them to deliver them. And that's when, in Exodus 4, verse 2, the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." Now, don't misunderstand. It's not that God didn't know what was in Moses' hand. God is all-knowing. God certainly knows a rod when he sees one. The problem is that Moses doesn't know what was in his hand. He saw his rod as a simple shepherd's staff, but God had plans for this rod. In God's hands, this rod would become so much more. When Moses answers God, he says, "A rod." Literally, the word means a dead stick. That's how Moses saw it. Moses had found this branch and he had carved it into a staff. Over the years, he had used it to shepherd Jethro's sheep. He knew his rod. Oh, so well, he knew his rod. Moses knew its knots. He knew where he liked to grip it, smoothed by the friction of his hand. He knew the thick portion that he would use to fight off predators. Over the years, Moses had gotten to know his rod so well, he didn't know it at all. For God saw in that simple, everyday, a million like it, run-of-the-mill rod, the potential to overcome an evil empire and to free an enslaved nation. And God is about to show Moses that what he thinks is just a dead stick is in reality a mighty, miracle-working instrument when surrendered to him. Verse 3, and God said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Moses threw down his rod, and he became a snake, and he ran from it. Moses obviously didn't like snakes. If my club had turned into one of those fancy new Cobra rod drivers, well, I would have still run from it too. Moses obviously didn't like snakes. If Moses was like me, he would have told you that there are only two kinds of snakes, and we're not talking poisonous and non-poisonous. We're talking dead and alive. I hate all snakes. Moses, though, was a shepherd in the Midianite desert. He was an outdoorsman. He was used to seeing snakes. Moses fled from this rod-turned snake probably because he turned into a venomous snake. Some Bible scholars believe that the snake was a cobra. In fact, the crown worn by the Egyptian pharaoh was shaped like a coiled-up cobra. This was Pharaoh's insignia. And God is not through challenging Moses. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Realize the snake charmers in Egypt, they handled snakes, but they always picked them up from behind their head. A snake is nothing but muscle. Grab it by the tail and it will twist around and strike at you. This might reveal a little something about me and my viewing habits, but if you've ever watched the episode of Swamp People, I like Swamp People, you know that you pick up a snake at the back of the head. You never pick it up by the tail. Reaching for the tail can be hazardous to your health. And yet, notice, God tells Moses specifically to take it by the tail. Somehow, Moses mustered the faith to obey. We're told he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. God gave Moses power to tame the serpent, just as he would to subdue the cobra of Egypt and of the Pharaoh. This was all symbolic. The Hebrews would understand and they would accept Moses as their deliverer. But that's not the only symbolism in this story. Before Moses threw down his staff, it belonged to him. It was the rod of Moses. It was attached to Moses. But once he threw it down and then picked it up again, a change occurred. Read verse 20. For when Moses and his family leave for Egypt, we're told Moses took the rod of God in his hand. What had been the rod of Moses was now the rod of God. Follow Moses to Egypt, and it's amazing what God through Moses accomplished with this rod. Moses throws it down again in the palace of the Pharaoh to demonstrate God's power, and the same miracle occurs. When Egypt's sorcerers duplicate the feat and turn their staffs into snakes, God betters them. His snake swallows up their snakes. God tells Moses to use the rod to strike the Nile River and turn it into blood. Listen to all that the rod of God accomplishes in Egypt. Exodus 8, verse 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. Exodus 8, verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Exodus 9, verse 23. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground. Exodus 10, verse 13. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, And the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Over and over and over again, God used this rod to humble the mighty Egyptians and their Pharaoh. And then when the Hebrews get trapped between the Red Sea and the charging army of the Pharaoh, we're told in Exodus 14, verse 16, that God tells Moses, "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground." Even after the parting of the Red Sea, God continued to use this rod to work miracles for the people of Israel. The Amalekites were defeated when Moses raised the rod over the battlefield. He brought water from the rock by striking it with his rod. Moses' authority was vindicated by God when this same rod blossoms with almonds. Hey, all this comes from one whittled piece of dead wood. Mind-boggling. It would be like me picking up my rod, bringing it to the Friday Calvary Chapel Men's Golf Fellowship. And suddenly, I'm using this rod to hit all kinds of miraculous, mighty shots. "Pastor Sandy, what'd you have?" "Oh, give me a birdie. Give me an eagle." "Yeah, oh yeah, that was a hole in one. Yeah, yeah, yeah." What would you conclude? That it's no longer the rod of Sandy, it's now the rod of God. Well, like my golf club, the shepherd's staff that belonged to Moses was not much before he threw it down. His rod was just a lifeless stick, an uprooted sapling. It was limited in its power and its proficiency to the muscle and to the skill of Moses. But once he laid this rod down and dedicated it to God, it became a miracle-working instrument. You see, the instant that staff became God's rod, it was no longer limited to the might or to the talent of Moses. It was now connected to God's omnipotence. And though this seemingly insignificant stick, through this stick, God humbled the most powerful king on earth, broke the back of the greatest empire, and wiped out an unbeatable army, all through that stick. And here's my question to you today. What is that in your hand? For no matter how little or how meager your talents and resources might be, no matter how lifeless you might feel, no matter how roughed out and worn down you've become, if you give God what you have in your hand, He can do incredible and miraculous works through you. Here's a poem for you. It's entitled 10 Little Christians. 10 little Christians standing in line. One disliked the pastor, then there were 9. 9 little Christians stayed up very late. One overslept Sunday, then there were 8. 8 little Christians on their way to heaven. One took the low road, then there were 7. 7 little Christians chirping like chicks. One disliked the church's music, then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest, then there were 5. 5 little Christians pulling for heaven's shore, but one stopped to rest, and then there were 4. 4 little Christians, each busy as a bee, one got his feelings hurt, and then there were 3. 3 little Christians thought they knew what to do, one joined the worldly crowd, then there were 2. 2 little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done, differed from each other. Then there was 1. 1 little Christian, can't do much is true, brought his friend to Bible study. Then there were 2. 2 earnest Christians, each won 1 more. That doubled the number. Then there were 4. 4 sincere Christians believed God is great, each won another. Then there were 8. 8 committed Christians, if they doubled as before, in just so many Sundays, we'd have 1,024. In this little jingle, there is a lesson that is true. you belong either to the building or the wrecking crew. What are you doing? Building or wrecking? In this new year, don't you want to do something great for God? Don't you want to do something that will count for all eternity? It's been said, to have God do His own work through us, even once, is better than a lifetime of human striving. Rather than be a wrecking ball, why not build something great for God or be part of that building? And here's where it all begins. What is that in your hand? God has given you gifts and talents and abilities and hobbies and likes and careers and opportunities. And He's given them to you for a bigger purpose than you even realize. God knows what's in your hand, but do you? He wants to take what you've considered a dead stick, no big deal. Oh, how could God ever use that? And with it, build His kingdom and bring Him glory. There's just one problem. See, our problem is the same as the problem that God had with Moses' rod. It was Moses' rod. And as long as it was the rod of Moses, it was limited to what Moses could accomplish with it. But when Moses threw it down and relinquished ownership, that's when God got a hold of that rod and everything changed. Once it became God's rod, it took on a supernatural strength and skill. See, many of us suffer from the same assumption. What can God accomplish through me? My talents aren't refined. Oh, my gifts aren't all that polished. My abilities are just mediocre. I'm nothing more than a dead stick. Hey, realize the staff that God used to conquer the Egyptians, it had the same chemical composition, the same molecular structure as it did when Moses used it to balance on rocks and tend sheep. It was the same rod. The only thing that ever changed about that rod was its ownership. And yet it was ownership that made all the difference. This was hammered home to me one year that I attended college. It was actually my last year, my last semester, in fact. I took a course in public speaking. In the class, we were required to do 3 speeches. And the professor made himself crystal clear. On the first day of class, he said that we could talk about anything except sex, politics, or religion. Well, my first 2 speeches were duds. I mean, they were both on some inane, boring topic I had no interest in whatsoever. And they left me with a C+. I knew I needed to do well on my final speech if I wanted to get a B in the course. But that's when the Lord began to nudge me. I knew He wanted me to share the gospel with that class. And I can remember wrestling with that decision. But Lord, I really need a good grade here. And the professor has already said no religious speeches. And if I violate his rule, I might just blow my final grade. Man, I went back and forth, back and forth. And finally, I just threw it down. I turned the ownership of my grades over to Jesus. And I prepared a gospel speech. I'll never forget taking my seat after I was finished. There was this long pause from the professor. He rarely commented on any of the speeches, but this time he stood up and he addressed the class. At the beginning of the quarter, I said, no speeches on sex, politics, and religion. Well, that was a religious speech. But if all religious speeches were done in that manner, I would want to hear them. I looked at my grade, and he had given me a 50 out of a possible 50. The highest grade he handed out all quarter. Man, I left the room praising God. And God taught me a huge lesson that day. How the rod of Sandy's capable of no better than a C+. It was the rod of God that hit the home run. Guys, there is no limit to what God can do with our little bit if we give it all to Him. He can take our 5 loaves and our 2 fish and feed 5,000. It all boils down to ownership. Here's the key to God's blessing. Before you take it up, first throw it down. Yield it to God. Relinquish your claim to whatever it is. Make it God's property. For it is only when you turn it over to Him that He uses it fully. Francis Schaeffer once wrote, "Much can come from little if the little is truly consecrated to God. There are no little people and no big people in the true spiritual sense, only consecrated and unconsecrated people." Have you dedicated your talents and abilities and callings and likes and propensities to the Lord? Does Jesus have ownership of all that you are and all that you possess? Remember the new song that Pastor Matt taught us this morning. "If anything I do, does it bring glory to you? Lord, I surrender. If anything I own, it isn't yours and yours alone. Lord, I surrender." Have you taken what's in your hand and thrown it down and surrendered it to God? For only when God owns it will He then use it. It's interesting, when you throw your rod down before God, it too will turn into an ugly, venomous snake. In Scripture, the serpent is a symbol not only of Egypt's Pharaoh, but of the power behind the Pharaoh, that's that of Satan. And when we dedicate ourselves and our gifts to God, suddenly we see those things as a snake. We see how selfish we used to be with them. At the time, we didn't realize how egotistical we were about the gifts that God had given us. We took natural abilities given to us by God and used them to gratify our own ego. We defined ourselves and took our identity from the gifts God gave us without sensing any obligation to the one who gave us those gifts. We took the learned skills made possible by God's provision and used them to prosper ourselves. We took His blessings and used them on our selfish selves without ever stopping to even say thanks. Have we robbed God? When you take blessings and talents and advantages that you did nothing to deserve and you use them on yourself without ever pausing to praise God or serve God with them, that's grand larceny in its ugliest, most poisonous form. Remember, the shepherd's staff of Moses was an attachment. And attachments are difficult to throw down. When you possess an object for a long time, often that object will begin to possess you. So much of ourselves and our ego and our self-esteem gets wrapped up in our talents and in our abilities. We clutch tightly to my rod. Oh, often we're afraid to throw it down. For when we dedicate a talent to God, we feel like we're giving up a part of ourselves we may never get back. If I give God control of this area of my life, He may take it away for good. And even more likely, when you lay down a piece of yourself at God's feet, He'll want you to leave it there alone, maybe even for a long time. He might even want you to run from it like Moses. It too is ugly and dangerous. Too dangerous to pick back up quickly. It's too laced with self and pride for you to touch it until God first cultivates in your heart the proper attitude toward it, whatever it is. And yet, here's what I've discovered. There will come a time when God will tell you to pick that thing up again. After He's done His work in your heart, once He's replaced fear with trust, and sight with faith, and pride with humility, and selfishness with service, then He'll tell you to reach down and pick that thing up again. And when you do, what was once so lethal and dangerous to you will become an instrument for God. As I was growing up, I was always attached to sports. I played it all, baseball and football and basketball and even golf. It was my identity. I ate and drank and slept sports. That is until God told me to throw it down. And eventually I did, but it was so hard. So much of myself and my pride and my self-esteem was wrapped up in how well I could perform. I was afraid that if I threw it down, perhaps God would never allow me to pick it up again. It's so difficult to throw down what we think we need. But how do we learn that God alone can carry us if we're still leaning on the crutches of this world? A misplaced dependence can be an ugly affront to God. And this can happen with any number of things, even good things. Stuff gets a grip on us and overwhelms our devotion to God. An unhealthy attachment can be a business, a relationship, an ambition, a new home perhaps. But it robs God of what He wants most from you, your heart. This is why you need to pry it loose. You need to throw that thing down. And for a time after I threw down my attachment, I ran from it. Like Moses ran from that snake. Sports had become an idol to me, a cobra. For several years, I didn't pick up a ball again. I didn't even watch the Bulldogs. Can you believe it? Sports had become more than a pastime, and it scared me what great a hold it got on my soul. I really wanted to belong to Jesus, not the gods of competition. And it was ironic to discover that what was so difficult to throw down was just as hard to pick up again. When you throw down a talent or an ability, it's an attachment. But when you go to pick it back up, it has become a snake. Often you don't realize what an unhealthy hold it had on you until you've walked away from it for a while. Sports were in my past. I was afraid to make them part of my future. See, when you've been bit, it's tough to muster the courage to take the snake by the tail. You have to have faith that God can now manage whatever you were never able to control. But after a time, after the Holy Spirit has done His work in my heart, God told me to pick it up, and I did. And now I can compete without selling my soul. Now I can enjoy it without getting all stressed out. I can have fun and then walk away knowing that my value isn't based on my performance or that of my team. My life is centered on who I am in Christ. In fact, when I picked sports up again, God took my athletic interest and my prowess and He used it as a tool for Him. I was able to coach my kids, which got me involved in the community. In fact, our congregation is full of people this morning that I met while coaching our kids in Little League. Today, I even play golf and look for opportunities to be a witness for Jesus. My goal is no longer to beat people. Couldn't do it anyway. But now my goal is to point people to Jesus. Hey, whenever I pick up this club, it's just Sandy's club, but if I use it properly, it can become the rod of God. For me, it was sports. But for you, it may be some other attachment. Here's my question for you today. What is that in your hand? Maybe it's music, or the stock market, or a relationship, or a business, or maybe the dream of owning your own business, or a hobby. Whatever it is, it's got a hold on you. It's an attachment that God is calling on you to throw down. He wants you to surrender it to Him. And in His time, He will tell you to pick it up again. And when you do, it will no longer be yours. It will belong to God. This all reminds me of the grandma who takes her sewing skills, dedicates them to God, and then watches Him use them to fashion blankets for homeless victims. Or the businessman who takes his aptitude with numbers and finances and budgets and gives them to God and now shares them with single moms struggling to make ends meet. Or a mechanic who donates an oil change so that it can be auctioned off to raise money for missions. There's all kinds of ways God can use that which is in your hand. These are all examples of common folk with simple skills who are making a difference in people's lives for God's kingdom because they took what was in their hand and surrendered it to God. And now they're watching God use it in mighty ways. I have a twofold invitation for you this morning. I want you to ask God two questions. First, what is the rod that He wants you to throw down? The talent or skill or resource you say you possess, but that really possesses you. It's God's gift to you. Don't think for a second you achieved it yourself. He made it possible. He gave you the wherewithal to cultivate it or to accumulate it. It belongs to Him. Now He's asking you to throw it down. And second, what is the rod that He wants you to pick up? The talent or skill or aptitude that you've neglected. Oh, it was once a gift that you used, but now you've buried that gift from God. You've relegated it to the past when God wants to use it now and in the future. Stop being afraid of the serpent. You need to trust Jesus and reach down and bravely pick it up, even by the tail. In this new year, God wants to use whatever it is that is in your hand. Your simple shepherd's staff can work wonders for His kingdom. What you have to offer may be small and seemingly insignificant and hardly worth throwing down. But friend, it's all an issue of ownership. If what you have belongs to God, then He'll multiply it. He will link it to His omnipotence and He will use it powerfully. In 2025, let's take our rod and turn it into God's rod.